us back, Lord. Things that would hinder us from walking with you and running the race, Lord. But Father, we truly are weak. And Lord, we just give our hearts to you. Father, would you speak to us through your word, Lord? Lord, may it remind us of things that we may already know. And may it speak to our hearts. Lord, we've come to hear your word, Lord. We ask that you would speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn, if you guys wouldn't mind, to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 27 tonight. I believe the message that we have here tonight is rather simple. And I think that we've read it, most of us, many times already. But I just wanted to share from this because it really continuously speaks to my heart. The calling that God has on us. What God requires of us. What God expects from us. And it's all in return because of what He's already done for us. In our life, we daily, we're faced with decisions, aren't we? Some of them are very easy, very simple, no problem. You don't have to think twice. And others, perhaps, are very complex. They're going to have extreme results. If you do this, this is going to happen. And if you do this, this is going to happen. But then if you don't, what's going to happen? All sorts of things that we always have to make decisions on. And there's a lifestyle that you and I live. We all have a lifestyle. It's the way we've habitually come about to be who we are. We like doing the things that we do right now. We do them on a regular basis. And the lifestyle that we have is in and of itself a decision that we have made. Whether we realize it or not, if we really think about it, it's a decision as to how we are living for Christ. It's our decision as to our response of what Jesus has said to us and of what He has commanded us to do. How we prioritize our lives is a decision that we have habitually made, and our lifestyles that we currently have is our response to Jesus Christ, whether you really realize it or not. 44% of adults say that having a satisfying family life is their highest priority in life. Not a bad priority, right? 44%. In this same survey, 18% of the people said that 18% of the people said that completely understanding and carrying out the principles of their faith was the highest priority. Only 18%. More than half of those who attend a Christian church, I don't know if I would word it like that, 54% of those who attend church say that they are absolutely committed to Christ. 54%. I wonder if that applies to Calvary Chapel, Sun City. I wonder if that applies to my heart and to your heart. Are we totally committed to Christ or just partially? In our text, let's go ahead and read it. We're going to see a few things that Jesus Christ has commanded of us. First of all, we're going to see who He's talking to. Does this apply to you and me or not? Second of all, we're going to talk about just the commands and the requirements that He's laid down for us in the text. And then we're going to see the responses and the consequence to the response that you and I will make. Let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father and with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." Amen. First of all, we're going to go ahead and look at who is Jesus talking to, first of all. I love those words, follow me. According to John MacArthur, Though that phrase, "follow me," spoken by Jesus, is repeated more times in the Gospels than any other sayings of Christ. Do you think that's important to Jesus Christ? Do you think that is by coincidence? The second most repeated phrase is, "whoever loses his life for my sake." I think that's a huge message that Jesus took to everybody. And let's go ahead and look. Verse 24, it says, Jesus said to his disciples. So first of all, who was Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples. We're thinking the 12 disciples, right? The 12 apostles who were with Christ. They had to make decisions to follow him. I'm just going to share with you a few of the disciples. Peter, Simon Peter, he was a skilled fisherman. And Peter had a wife whose mother was healed from the Lord from a terrible fever. And both he and his brother Andrew were fishing partners with the sons of Zebedee, James and John. In Matthew 4, Christ had called these men into new service, to be fishers of men. Beforehand, Peter was a disciple of John the Baptist. Tradition holds that Peter was martyred in Rome between 60 and 69 AD. He was crucified upside down, considering himself unworthy to die the same death of his Lord. Do you think he decided to follow Christ? Andrew, he was the brother of Simon Peter. He was also a disciple of John the Baptist. Christ caused him to immediately leave and tell Peter of the Messiah, the Son of God. Hey, bro, guess what? I found the Messiah. That should be our response, shouldn't it? Because he would not submit to Roman idols. In 80 AD, he was crucified by Agius, the governor of Edessenus, and buried in Petrae. Bartholomew, many scholars associate Bartholomew with the surname Nathanael. If the identification of Bartholomew with Nathanael is correct, Philip brought him, a native of Galilee, to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Yet Jesus was already familiar with him, as we see in John chapter 1. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, he's been said to have preached throughout all of India, and he translated the Gospel of Matthew into their tongue. Later in his ministry, he was beaten, he was crucified, and he was beheaded for the sake of his master. Matthew, originally named Levi, Matthew was a Jew from Capernaum. And in Matthew 9, responding to Christ, he immediately arose and followed him and began a new life serving the Lord. As a tax collector or a publican, Matthew transferred taxes from both local merchants and farmers to the Roman state. And in that day, tax collectors were seen as thieves because they often took taxes and pocketed the money. Immediately, though, after he rose and followed Jesus Christ, Matthew gave Jesus a large banquet in which he invited many tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees, remember, criticized Jesus for dining with such an appalling group of wretched sinners. Yet Jesus rebuked them, saying, "I have not come to call righteous, but sinners into repentance." Matthew was known as a tax collector, one of the scumbags, maybe even worse than what you and I would consider the IRS. You know, we don't like that word. We have a small family business, and all I know is that we always try and do things straight because the last people we want to hear from is the IRS. Forget that. We're not going there. Anyway, in his later ministries, Matthew preached to Ethiopia and all of Egypt and was later killed with a spear under the leadership of King Hyrcanus. Do you think these guys understood Jesus when he said, "Man, you've got to leave all and follow me"? Last guy I'm going to share with you is Paul. Paul was the author of the 13 New Testament epistles. He was born as an Israelite in Tarsus. His original name was Saul. He studied under Gamaliel in Jerusalem and became a Pharisee. He was present at the stoning of Stephen, and later became a persecutor of the church. While he was seeking to have Christians bound, he was converted on the road to Damascus as Christ appeared to him. He went into Damascus and then to Arabia for a period of time before returning to Jerusalem. Eventually, he met with Barnabas and ministered with him in Antioch. Soon he began to go on various missionary journeys to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He was then imprisoned in Rome on two occasions and was martyred under Caesar Nero. All of these guys, man, they went all out. And the reason I want to talk about who Jesus is talking to here is because I often think, well, a lot of these sayings of Jesus, they apply to those 12 guys. They apply to the 12 apostles, not to me. When am I ever going to have to do this? But in Mark chapter 8, it says it like this. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So who was Jesus speaking to? He wasn't just speaking to the apostles. Man, he was speaking to the crowds that were following him. Just before this, he had fed the 4,000. And so people were like, dude, if we hang out with Jesus, we get free food. You know, who knows what else we can get next? You know, maybe a free donkey or whatever. Whatever the case, let's follow the guy. Let's do it. But Jesus had a strong message for them. And I think he has a message same for us. I believe that these words apply to us today. And those who want to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to read this text and take it serious. Let's go ahead and look. Next, at his commands that he gives us. He says in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus says, first of all, that we are to deny ourselves. And I just always like to look up phrases like that in the Greek. And in the Greek, it means specifically to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you've got to forget about yourself. You've got to forget about all of your goals. You've got to forget about all of your interests and just put them behind you, because now you have new interests. I'm going to read to you a few verses. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, he's talking to the rich young ruler, and the guy comes to him and says, Master, what do I have to do to obtain, you know, eternal life? And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And the guy says, why would he do that? It's a piece of cake. So Jesus tells the guy, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And then it says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The guy was a rich guy. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, more than your wife and your child, more than your brothers and your sisters, and yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. And then he says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if there's enough money to pay the bills? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds. And then how will everyone laugh at you? They would say, there's a person who started that building and ran out of money before it was finished. Or what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat the 20,000 soldiers who are marching against him? If he's not able, then while the enemy is still far away, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace. So no one can become my disciple without giving up everything for me. Those are pretty strong words from Christ to us. And I wonder how many of us have given up everything for Christ. Have you done it? Have I done it? Are there things that we would say, Lord, we'll do this, but just don't touch this over here, you know. This is me, this is who I am, Lord, you know. We'll be all right. Up to here, you draw a line in the ground with your toe. It's fine, but past that, sorry, Lord. I won't do it. Paul was beaten. I kind of find this funny. It says, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I just think it's kind of funny. They beat him up so bad that they counted this guy as dead. But yet, Paul, did he give up? No way, man. He stood up. I would imagine he kind of wiped the dirt off his elbows, his face, his clothes, kind of shook his shirt and his tunic a little bit and said, all right, who's next? Let's do it. Let's get going. 2 Timothy, Paul says, But if you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith and long-suffering and love and perseverance, persecutions and afflictions which have happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How about Moses? Moses had a pretty good choice, you know. He was like top dog over there under Pharaoh. But yet it says in Hebrews, it was by faith Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give to him. Last of all, in 1 Peter it says, so then, since Christ suffered a physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had, and be ready to suffer too. For if you're willing to suffer for Christ, you've decided to stop sinning, and you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Man, denying yourself, it's hard, isn't it? You know one thing that I've learned in life? I'm 28 years old, so I've still got a lot to learn. But one thing that I've learned, and I think I'm still learning, is that life is like continuously difficult, isn't it? At times. It just never ends. Just like work, you know, I enjoyed 18 years of going to school. Then I had to get a job. You know, that's the way it went. And right now, I've got to work. My wife and I, we just got our first house not too long ago. And boy, does it need a lot of work. And I'm not used to it, really, to be honest with you. I used to help my dad at our house when I used to live with him. But man, I realized how much he used to do, and now there's nobody else to do it. So if I don't do it, it doesn't get done, you know? And it's like, man, just when you think at the end of the day you're tired and you've accomplished so much, I sit down and I look around at my house and I say, oh boy, there's many days of this still ahead of me. And isn't that how life is, man? Over and over, it's just always working hard. It's continuously denying yourself and saying, okay, I've got to get this done. I've got to do this. Is reading the Bible a necessary part of your day, or does it have a low priority in your life? George Mueller, after having read the Bible through 100 times with increasing delight, made this statement. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have too much to do, so many people to see. I cannot find time for the Scriptures or to study. Perhaps there are not many more who have as many things as I do. For more than half a century, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of these had passed through my own hands. Then, as pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have had charge of 5 immense orphanages, also at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts. books and Bibles, but I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. Even in denying yourselves and denying myself, I have to admit, I get lazy, man. Do we read the Word of God every day? Or is that like kind of, I'll do it if I have time? I think it's important that we do that because in a way it's sacrificing, right? You're sacrificing time to study and get to know God's Word so that you know His will for you and you know His will for others and you can share it with other people. It's important to do that and to know His will. So we have to deny ourselves. We have to totally, just absolutely forget about ourselves, forget about our interests. I like to play golf. I like to go fishing. I like to do all sorts of little things, and everybody has their habits. But you know what I've realized through this text is that's last. I'm sorry, but that should be last. Yes, we need to take vacations and we need to take breaks, but you know what? My first priority needs to be Jesus Christ and furthering His kingdom. That is what Jesus means, deny yourself. All right, He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And second, He says, let him take up his cross. A commentator wrote, the underlying figure is derived from the then prevailing custom, according to which a man who had been sentenced to die by crucifixion was compelled to carry his own cross to the place of execution. Bearing a cross after Jesus thus became a symbol of willingness to endure pain, shame, and persecution for His sake and for His cause. John MacArthur says he was demanding a total commitment from them, even up to physical death. This was a call to life or death devotion. Just how we read about the apostles, the apostle Paul and all these other guys who went and totally followed Jesus Christ and were persecuted and were martyred. They were willing to do that. Jesus did the same thing for you and I, didn't He? Man, literally, He took up His cross. I think it's interesting that He told His disciples this, but yet He hadn't yet died on the cross. You know what I mean? Like the disciples, I wonder if they were fully aware that that's exactly what Jesus was going to do. I find it interesting that He uses this when He shares with His disciples because it's already on His mind. This was coming up and Jesus knew it. Man, I'm going to have to face the cross. This is what I've come for. I'm sure He was thinking, I've lived a perfect life. I've got to go carry my cross. I've got to go die on the cross for the world, for the sins of people. And so I think He uses the same example. Man, you've got to be willing to carry your cross. Are you willing to carry a cross for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to die for Him? Are you willing to go that far? Many of you in here probably have a doctorate degree. Many of you have businesses that are going and thriving. Many of you have been working for a long time and now you're one of the top dogs in your company. You know, many of you have an awesome retirement planned and it's coming up and you're about to reap all the hard work that you've sown for. You're about to do it. But are you willing to give that up for the cross? If you had to, are you willing to go and do that? Are you willing to carry the cross for Jesus Christ? The third thing Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And follow me. I looked that up in the Greek, and it means to cleave steadfastly to one, to conform wholly to His example in living and if need be in dying also. Jesus is saying here when He says, follow me, if you want to come after me, you must cleave to me steadfastly. You must conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also. To really follow Jesus Christ, the part of that definition that got me was conforming wholly to His example. Conforming wholly to His example. Man, Jesus, if you guys wouldn't mind turning with me to Philippians chapter 2. I guess if I had to sum it up, this is the verse that came to my mind. Philippians 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Man, Jesus created everything that you and I see. He created the heavens and the earth and the universe and everything that is in it. He created you. He created me. But yet he humbled himself. He forgot who he was. He forgot his position. And he became a mere finite human being just like you and I, who would have a body that, you know, I wonder, he must have gotten sick, right? Doesn't it stink when you get sick? I hate it. He must have gotten sick. You and I are tempted every day. The Bible says, man, he was tempted in every way that you and I were ever tempted. Yet he was without sin. And not only did he come just in our body and limit himself in that way, but he came to be beaten. He came to be scourged. He came to be crucified on the cross. And at the same time, not deserving it in a single way because he lived a perfect life. Man, he humbled himself. He left what he had and he gave it for you and I. And that's the example that we need to follow for him. We need to give up everything that we have for Jesus. He did it for us, so why wouldn't you and I do it for him? How loyal are you and I to Jesus? How loyal are we? Are we conforming wholly to his example? Are we willing to do this in the way we live? And if need be, in the way that we die? Are we willing to, if Jesus were to call us and say, hey, follow me, and that path you knew was going to lead to Africa, Europe, Indonesia, Juarez, híjole, Juarez. Would you give it all up? Would you follow him? Now, really look into your heart, because Jesus, God, he knows your heart and he knows your motive. The interesting thing about these things that he's saying, denying yourself, taking up the cross and following me, it's in a Greek mood that is a command. Jesus here is commanding you and I to do these things. He's not asking us. If you wouldn't mind, Daniel, would you take up your cross? Would you just, if you wouldn't mind, you know, and would you wholly follow me? And if you had to, if you wouldn't mind, would you die a horrible death for me? Hey, he's not saying that here. This is a mood of command. He is commanding you and I to do this. If anybody wants to come after me, what do we have to do? We have to deny ourselves. We have to forget ourselves totally. We have to take up our cross and we have to follow him wholly and completely in living and if need be in dying. It's a command that Jesus has for us. What are the consequences of the decision that you and I make? Think about the lifestyle that you're living right now. Do you think you're truly following Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, let's go ahead and look at verse 24 again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So one of the consequences that we can have is, hey, first of all, let's say you decide to go with it. All right, Lord, I've counted the cost. I understand what you're commanding me to do here, and I want to do it. Man, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. I want to be where you are. I want to do what you want me to do. Whatever, no matter what, I'm with you. Well, one of the things is eternal life. In Luke chapter 12, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build them greater, and there I will store all of my crops and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The other result is being destined to go to hell. The way you live your lifestyle, if you're deciding to follow Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to him truly and completely and you're following him, we're saved by grace, right? It's faith in Jesus Christ, but it's a living faith. The Bible says that the devil and all the demons, they know God exists. They know he's real, but that doesn't save them. They do well. But the kind of faith God requires of you and I is a faith with action. If I believe that this chair is going to hold me up, I'm going to sit on it because I have faith in it. But if I don't believe that it's going to hold me up, I'm not going to want to sit on it because, I don't know, maybe I've gained a few pounds lately. You know, maybe it's not going to hold me up anymore. I don't know. But in me sitting here on this chair, I am proving to you that I have faith in it. I believe in it. I can't look at it and say I believe in it. No, I'm showing you I believe in it. And that is what Jesus Christ expects of you and I. Is your habitual lifestyle showing that you believe in Jesus Christ? There was once a rich man who was near death. He was very grieved because he had worked so hard for his money. He wanted to take it with him to heaven, and so he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth with him. An angel hears his plea and appears to him and says, Sorry, but you can't take your wealth with you. The man implores the angel to speak to God and see if he might bend the rules just a little bit. The man continues to pray that his wealth could follow him. The angel reappears and informs the man that God has decided to allow him to take one suitcase with him. Overjoyed, the man gathers his largest suitcase and fills it with pure gold bars and places it beside his bed. Soon afterward, the man dies and shows up at the gates of heaven to greet St. Peter. And seeing the suitcase, St. Peter says, Hold on, wait a minute. You can't bring it in here with you. You can't bring anything with you. But the man explains to St. Peter that he has permission and asks him to go verify his story with the Lord. And sure enough, St. Peter checks and comes back saying, You're right. You are allowed one carry-on bag. But I'm supposed to check it. Sound familiar? I'm supposed to check its contents before letting it through. St. Peter opens the suitcase to inspect the worldly items that the man found too precious to leave behind and exclaims, You brought pavement? The things that you and I will give up now, do they even compare to what we have to look forward to? Man, not even. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to stand in front of Jesus Christ and just to be with him in heaven and to look back and think, man, I lived my life on earth. Whether I be 80 when I pass away or God takes me early or whatever it be. And I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, gosh, you know, that was pretty hard. And boy, am I glad that I decided to follow you, Lord. Boy, am I glad that I decided to do this. No regrets. It does take sacrifice. That is what Jesus Christ is asking of you and I. Man, he's asking for sacrifice. And it's hard because we want to go and live our lifestyle. We have our comforts. We have the things that we want to keep doing. They're always there for us. Especially we live in the United States. I mean, how hard is it to live here? It's fun. It's easy. It's like making money is one of the easiest things to do in America, right? So you get to work and you get to make money and you live and you have fun doing the things you want to do. But are we the rich fool that we just read about here a little while ago? Who laid up all of his treasures, and when we die, we're going to regret it so much. Are you one who takes this word serious and says, when Jesus says, if you desire to follow him, you have to deny yourself, you have to take up your cross, and you have to wholly follow him in living and if need be in dying. Have you made that decision to do so? Jesus Christ definitely did that for you and I. The consequences, well, let's go ahead and look at this a little bit more. Verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Man, if you desire to save your life and build up all these things for yourself and enjoy your time and that be your priority, then guess what? When you die, you will have lost it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever sacrifices their life, your life here on earth, 50, 80, 90, 100 years, however long you live, if you sacrifice that short time in comparison to eternity, you will find it. You will have eternal life. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Chuck Smith asked the question, think of the top three things. If you could have anything in the world, if you could have any lifestyle, what are the top three things that you would imagine having or doing? What are those top three things? Once you've thought of those three things, would you exchange your soul for those things? Would you say, let me have them and take my soul? I don't care about eternity. Is it worth it? Is it worth losing your soul? In verse 27, it says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. It's so easy, I think. Well, I shouldn't say it's easy. Don't get me wrong. But for a college student, let's look at a college student, for example. For example, I have a nephew. He's going to go to college and he's going to be a pharmacist. And those are his plans. And it's going to take, I think it's like 6 good hard working years of study for him to accomplish that and get the degree in his hands and say, okay, I'm a pharmacist. But after that, the dude's going to get paid big bucks, right? I mean, that's just, there's going to be a reward for it. So through these 6 years, I think that's what's going to carry this guy. You know what? This is what I really want to be. I desire to be a pharmacist. And I know that if I work hard now and I go to school, you know, I'm not going to be having a difficult time, hopefully, when I'm older financially. Nothing wrong with that at all. We need to get our lives and our sight to see down all the way into eternity. And keep that in mind. These 80, 90 years, 100 years, technology is getting, you know, improvement, whatever it may be. If you and I are willing to suffer for this short time, dude, there's going to be rewards in heaven. There's going to be total rewards for what you've done. There's going to be judgment from Jesus Christ, and either you know him first of all or you don't. If you know him, welcome home. If you don't know him personally, then I'm sorry, but I never knew you. After that, then we're all going to face Jesus Christ. And okay, Daniel, you lived in the United States. You had enough money to buy just about anything. You got the opportunity to go to the school of ministry, to Shepherd School. You got the opportunity to meet in a public place every Sunday and every Wednesday and listen and read from my word. Daniel, what did you do with it? What did you do with all the resources that I provided for you? Okay, so here you did this, you did that. Here's your reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Man, all of our sacrificing, all of our carrying our cross is not in vain. It is not in vain. We will be one day with Jesus Christ. We will one day walk the streets of gold with him. But even more important, we will be in his presence. No sin, no temptations, just boom. Me and the Lord are going to hang out today, face to face. It's such an awesome thing to look forward to. So I would just ask, I know that this message is quite simple, and many of you have really read it many times, but would you evaluate your heart? I believe it's something that we need to do. Another thing I meant to share with you about the Greek and these commands that Jesus gave to us is it's a command to continuously do something. It's not to say, well, do it once and that's it. It's to keep on doing something. Keep on keeping on. So we have to keep on keeping on denying ourselves. We have to keep on keeping on carrying our cross. We have to keep on keeping on following Him wholly and living, and if need be, in dying. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much because You have paid the ultimate price. Lord, You left everything. Lord, You left Your throne and You humbled Yourself for us, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You did go through all of that. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have laid down the perfect example for us. And Lord Jesus, we read these words tonight, and we pray, God, that we would be those who truly follow You, Lord. Your word says that if anyone desires to be Your follower, we must do these things. And Lord, we desire to follow You. Lord, it is our desire to be within Your will, Lord. It is our desire to be able to read Your word and apply it and live it. And Father, we know that it is Your desire that nobody should be destined to eternal damnation, but it is Your will that everyone would be saved, Lord. And God, I pray for anybody here tonight who still needs to give their life to You. Father, perhaps we've evaluated our hearts and maybe we haven't really truly given ourselves to You completely. But Father, we want to decide right now to do that for You, knowing that we have heaven to look forward to, and knowing that it's just because You loved us so much, and just by having faith in You, Lord, and confessing that You are Lord, or that we would have eternal life. Just before we keep praying, with every head bowed still, if there's anybody here tonight that needs to give your life to Jesus Christ, don't wait. Why wait? Why put it off? And so I would ask that it's between you and God, but if anybody here needs to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you would raise your hand and make it public and just say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to receive forgiveness of sins. Is there anybody here tonight that still has not yet done that and wants to do it? Amen. I will say to the rest of us here that if we're willing to follow Jesus Christ, and if we're willing to deny ourselves, would you just, let's go ahead and stand up and let's sing this last song, and let's praise God.